Welcome to Middle School Matters podcast number 676. 40 kids in the club. We've got some jokes for you. We've got some tools for you. We have some unexpected things for you this week. So without further ado, here's the wonderful, the magnanimous, the Mr. Troy Patterson.
All right, welcome back to the show. I am Troy Patterson, and with me is the world's greatest co-show host, Mr. Sean McGurr. Hey, Sean.
Well, hello there. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm exhausted. It's been a week.
It's been a week. I was going to say, school has started, and and the first couple weeks are pretty hectic. I think the next 40 weeks or whatever are also hectic, but I don't know. The first couple weeks and everybody getting used to everything, getting back into the groove of stuff is it's just a little different. So we were both pretty busy this week. And a lot of times for me, the first couple of, especially the first week, is a lot of putting out fires and things because it's like, oh, I didn't know that we bought this new program, blah, 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 and so I didn't provision it, and so now I need to do that. Who needs a, you know, and all that good stuff. We didn't really have any of that this year. But there's always things that like, oh, this software company has changed things. And now it's, we need to make these changes to make sure it works right and all that. So yeah. And, you know, you get schedules change and things happen. And so, but generally it was pretty smooth for us. We didn't have all that many of those things, but it's still just a lot of busy things with dotting I's and crossing T's and all that good stuff. So busy week, busy couple weeks. So, quick thought for you.
Okay.
And this is one that you might want to share with your parents. Becoming a parent is realizing you've gone from main character to backstory.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My sister and brother-in-law are in that mode right now. They have teens.
I did accidentally pay attention for a few minutes this week. It was terrible.
Oh, did you? Oh,
I would use that one with the kids and say, "Hey, hey, what happened? Did you actually pay attention for a few seconds? Yeah, that was terrible, wasn't it?"
Context. Oh dear.
Oh, so yeah.
There's a joke in here somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I thought I had it, but no, apparently not. Let's see here. A friend had a teapot accidentally spilled on his face while he was carrying a plate of burgers.
Yeah.
I guess brewed tea is in the eye of the beholder.
Sure. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yep. I've got no beef with that joke. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Now I'm hungry.
You should have seen Troy roll his eyes and like, oh, that was a dumb joke, Sean. That was just that. Yeah. It was good.
I asked my wife how her day was the other day. She said she wouldn't tell me unless I make bread with her.
Okay.
I guess we're on a need-to-know basis.
Oh, that's good. Uh-huh. That's good. Uh-huh. Yep, uh-huh. That's good. Uh-huh.
I have a couple of additional visual jokes for you over at middleschoolmatters.com, including why obeying signs can actually be pretty time consuming.
I like that one.
Yeah, I did too. I liked this one a lot. I sent both of them to you this week before the show, so I know that you got those. So, you know who else gets it?
Oh, who's that?
Dave Bidlowski.
Sure.
And this week he's going to talk about he's going to have a little section on AI here. He's going to address assessment in the age of AI. So here, without further ado, is the wonderful Mr. Dave Bidlowski and the Middle School Science Minute.
Hi, this is Dave Bidlowski of K12Science.net, and this is your K-12 Science Podcast. I was recently reading the From Chalkboards to AI blog on the National Science Teaching Association website, dated July 14, 2025, and I read the article Rethinking Science Assessment in the Age of AI, written by Christine Ann Royce and Valerie Bennett. And they began their blog with the idea to understand the shift in what the research tells us, and that is, educational research has long emphasized the need for assessments that go beyond rote memorization. Scholars such as Holmes, Bielek, and Fidel argue that in a world shaped by AI, assessments must evolve to prioritize creativity, critical thinking, and collaboration, all skills that AI can assist with but cannot replicate. Likewise, principles of instruction underscore that learning deepens when students activate prior knowledge, apply concepts to real-world problems, and integrate those experiences into lasting understanding. In science education, this shift is not new and has already been underway. The next generation science standards emphasize the importance of scientific practices, asking students to explain phenomena, use models, and engage in argumentation based on evidence. These standards encourage educators to go beyond the what and instead focus on the how and why questions that become especially relevant in the presence of AI. And then they spoke about the problem with traditional assessment in an AI world, and they said, many classic assessments, multiple choice tests, fill-in-the-blank worksheets, fact-based prompts, and regurgitation of information can now be completed with minimal effort using AI tools. A chatbot can label a diagram or define Newton's laws. It can even draft a decently formatted lab report, but it can't reflect on a failed experiment or explain a moment of insight during data analysis. In this new landscape, we need to design assessments that are both harder to outsource to technology and more engaging for students. That means asking them to build, create, test, revise, and defend their thinking. It means rewarding not just the end product, but the journey that led to it. Take, for example, a common biology assessment. Instead of asking students to list the parts of a cell, we might ask them to create a cartoon format outline in which a story is presented from the perspective of a cell organelle, explaining how it supports life within the larger system. Or, rather than grading a physics quiz on Newton's laws, we could challenge students to design a playground slide and explain how those laws influence safety features. These types of tasks reveal whether a student understands the content deeply enough to apply it meaningfully, while also providing opportunities for creativity. The challenge here is that students need to demonstrate their own work in their own writing and illustration that reflects their change in thinking over time. So documentation of the progression of their understanding is far more important than a single file or product they produce at the end of a unit. And then they look at designing assessments that reflect real thinking. And they said, authentic assessment is not new in science education. Many teachers ask students to design experiments, present findings, or reflect on lab results. However, in the AI era, these practices have become even more crucial. performance-based assessments, such as building prototypes, defending scientific claims orally, or curating digital portfolios, encourage students to demonstrate understanding in multidimensional ways. These formats naturally resist automation efforts that are part of AI use, as they rely on creativity, context, and the articulation of thought processes. A chatbot might generate a script, but it cannot present a model with spontaneous commentary, respond to a follow-up question, or describe the emotional experience of discovery. Digital portfolios, in particular, offer exciting possibilities. A student could document their learning over several weeks, annotating entries with moments of insight or confusion. They might generate graphs or summaries using AI tools, but always with acknowledgement, noting how these tools helped or hindered their work. When assessment becomes a story of learning rather than a snapshot of recall, both teachers and students benefit. And this has been your K-12 Science Podcast.
Little moment of insight there. Referenced for
yes.
Those who just listened to the Middle School Science Minute. Another insight, though, is you have a lot of kids who like government.
I do. More than I ever thought possible. Yeah. Talking about this week, it was busy. It was also, there's also have been several evenings of panic because, I should preface this, I suppose, by giving some context.
Context is one of those things we're shooting for here.
Yeah. I do the Michigan Youth in Government program with my social studies enrichment class. And I have a great number of Yemeni families in my community, and they don't let their kids travel. They don't let their kids go to places. So when I take kids to Michigan Youth in Government, it won't be the Yemeni kids. So we only take a very small. We have a lot of kids participate in the curriculum, and they understand when they get done. But they don't actually go because it's a family culture thing. They just don't. Not a thing. So I had a bunch of kids from last year's class say, we want to do it again. So I said, fine, I'll run it as a club. And we'll just, you know, we'll brush up on your skills and we'll do things better. And then the bills you wrote last year, let's clean them up, fix them up. And maybe we'll get them through this year. Plus we'll write some new ones. And they're like, yeah. So I was busy recruiting my now eighth graders from last year's group, thinking I'll do it for them. Right. I mean, who else is going to be interested? And one of the sixth grade teachers who taught the eighth grade class last year said, well, I'm going to talk to some sixth graders and see if they'll come. I said, sure. And I'm thinking sixth graders. Yeah, they won't. You know, they're still trying to figure out that there's a second floor in the building. Yeah, they're not going to come. And then there's some seventh graders, right? And they're in my class, so they knew about it. And then there's eighth graders. I just figured they'd be the ones that, you know, they're just in my class last year, right? And they're the ones just so. That's not true. None of that was true. I mean, yes, all those things happened, but there are a passel of sixth graders who came and are interested. And we have some new eighth graders, not just the ones from last year. And, we have a bunch of seventh graders and I talked to two of the moms that went last year and I said, do you want to be a club mom? So I think I mentioned in a previous show,
I was going to say, let's go back for a second, because you said that you needed to move this outside of a class, and I forgot why you had to move it outside of a class, so I apologize for that. But you started a club for it.
Right, yeah, and I had to move it outside of the class because I've got last year's seventh graders are now eighth graders, and because so many of them are taking the advanced math course, they can't take a social studies enrichment course. And then only half of the eighth grade social studies enrichment teachers are participating in this program. The other half doesn't want to do it, that's fine. It's her class. She's got to figure out her thing. And so I wanted to give them an opportunity to do it because I had so many of them come to me and say, I want to do it again. And right. last year we took two parents as kind of like help. And one of the two went so far as to find my cell phone number and plead with me to run a club so that her niece could do this. And then that she could, you know, chaperone again.
Okay.
And she's a great kid. I actually had her when she was in seventh and eighth grade. So this is a former student. Yeah. Well, it's funny because her husband is also a former student. It's kind of running in the family, I guess. But so I messaged her and I said, look, I said, we'll run the club. I'll do a club. I said, would you be interested in being a club mom? And she's like, yes. And I said, I don't have your best friend's phone number. I can't ask her, you know, could you message her and ask her if she would be a club mom too? 2 seconds later, I had a message back that said, yes, she'll do it too. And half of me is thinking, she didn't even ask.
She
just...
she did the wait. Yep, she's in.
Yeah. Now, I know that lady's not going to say no, but I also think that, yes, she got volunteered, but that's perfectly fine. But I was, so we ran the first meeting, right? And, you know, everybody meet room 214. And kids kept coming in the door. I was like, holy cow, I don't know most of these kids. And they're coming in, and they're coming in, they're coming in, they're coming in. It's sixth graders, it's seventh graders, and it's eighth graders. And we do our meeting, and at the end of the meeting, the mom is standing there. We're just talking and catching up. And she goes, I said, I'm amazed how many people came tonight. She goes, oh, I'm not. I said, you're not. She goes, no. She goes, the kids have been talking about this all week.
Wow.
And I looked at her and said, where or how or what? She goes, oh, no. She says, this has been blowing up on, and this was not on my bingo card. This has been blowing up on cheerleader chat. I said, no way. So she called over her niece and she opened her phone. She goes, seriously? And that they're talking about coming to. So the kids I had are not even all the ones that are planning on coming, because these kids have cheerleading obligations, and they're trying to work it out so that they can do that and come to. So I'm probably going to have more kids than I expected. Mm-hmm. And I imagine we'll have our own cheer at the same time. You know,
there is that advantage.
Right. You know, I mean, ready, set.
the only legislators with their own cheer squad.
Well, so when you go to Michigan Youth and Government, there's the opening parade ceremony, right? There's the parade of delegates. And I can imagine ours is going to be pretty enthusiastic.
Yours could be entertaining.
I do it because I want to be entertained. So I'm looking forward to it. And I think
combining their interests, that's a good thing.
I had no idea they're interested. Had no idea they were interested in this. Yeah. Right.
So knowing you, you probably brought snacks too, right?
Sure did. Absolutely. Well, so here's the irony. We were talking about doing pizza next week, and this is before we had the first meeting on Thursday this week. The sixth grade teacher says to me, we should do pizza the next week because we got those pizza heaters and we don't use them. So let's do it. She's got 6 hour prep. And so she was just going to slip out, grab the little sneezers and bring back the pizzas. We'd plug them in the pizza warmer in my room, and we'd have, it's another reason they'll come too, right? It's because they'll smell the pizza dough. And we figured we were going to need people. That is not true. So, listeners might be familiar with BJ's Wholesale Club. It's big on the East Coast. Yeah. And it's moved into Michigan, into three areas. And they did a fundraiser where if you bought a membership, they did something for the school. So, and the memberships were like half off. It was like 20 or 30 bucks. I was like, hey, you know, the money goes to the school. I got a membership. And then I went there one time and it was like, oh, this is nice. Mm-hmm. And I started getting things. I like it. It's not everything, but it's what they have is good. I get supplies for sales, for the concession sales and the school store sales. And I get a better deal there on most things than I did at Gordon Food Service when I was running over to Gordon Food Service.
Yeah.
I don't have a Sam's. I don't have a, you know, those other club type things. So I can't tell you if it's better than those or not. But I've been happy and I've been satisfied. And if I place my order online, they'll go get it for me and have it waiting for me. And all I do is pick it up. I show them my phone. I walk out the door. Shopping for the school store is so much easier and less time consuming than it has been in the past. So I'm satisfied. I'm a satisfied customer. This will not convert into any benefit for me from BJ's Wholesale, just saying.
Right.
So when you buy, you're buying in bulk. So I got a box of 18 donuts, cinnamon, apple, cider, cinnamon donut type thingies. And then the big giant, it's not a bucket, it's a square box, clear square plastic box, giant, two layers, like 50 cookies, chocolate chip cookies, you know, and not the small ones, regular size chocolate chip cookies. And I thought, you know what? I'll have some left over. I'll be able to use these for the team meeting next week. This will be good. I'm killing two birds with one trip, right?
Yep.
Got cookies for the kids, got cookies for the team. I got this. This is going to be absolutely not my plan. Did not work out. They were hoovered within 2 seconds, right? And I was like, we have a winner. This is good, right? And if we do pizza, we're going to go broke. thinking we stick with the cookies. Nom nom nom. And then there's two boys, they're twins, and their mom is the other mom that got volunteered or just responded so fast that it beats world records. So I had some of those single bag chips left over from the Mamsie board meeting that was in my classroom this summer. And I had those sitting up front. Next thing I know, I find them in the back eating the barbecue flavor chips, which I'm okay with because they're not my favorite and I don't care if they eat them. But I did not say that those were fair game for club night. And next thing I know, they're getting munched on too, and they're just enjoying them. So a good time was had by all. But I'm in a wee bit of trouble. The Michigan State Legislature has not yet passed a budget. Right. School districts don't know what kind of money they're getting for the fall. We had to negotiate a contract not knowing what the budget was going to be and how much money we were going to have. How do you negotiate a contract that way, right? But by the same token, the Michigan Youth and Government Program is subsidized by the Michigan Legislature. The cost is about $390 per kid. And the legislature will do grants to help kids get into the program. And it's not, you don't have to be low income. You don't have to, it's a grant, right? And if your group is interested in doing this, you're going to probably qualify for the grant because they want kids to engage in civic learning. Matter of fact, I think that's going to be one of the themes this week we talk about in the show because I've seen the show notes and I think this is something, the direction we're going to go. But they want kids to engage in civic engagement, right? And learn the process of government and learn the mechanics of doing these things. But right now, because there is no budget, there's no way that there's no subsidy. There's no program to help. So I found out. There's all new kinds of ways of fundraising. I've been out of that game for a little bit. And so we're going to do a popcorn fundraiser. We're going to do it through Double Good. And I love the concept of Double Good because I don't have to touch the money and I don't have to pass out the popcorn. This is going to be so good. Matter of fact, this is doubly good. Oh, wait. So I'm looking forward to it. We're going to do a popcorn fundraiser because now we've got kids and I figured we were close with what we had raised doing the school store. I figured we were going to be really good. The kids would have to pay something, and I always want them to pay something because I want them to be financially invested in it.
Right.
But if we take what I have right now and all, let's say 50 kids go, I can buy them a dinner. I can pay for the breakfasts, both breakfasts that morning. That's where we're at. So yeah, I've got more hustling to do. It's going to be good. We're going to sell popcorn.
I like popcorn. So
I'll get you the code.
I was going to say, oh, I just said that. And now Sean is going to be cool. You can buy some from me.
It looks good. It looks delicious. Yeah. I've not had this company's popcorn, but they're still in business and people use them quite a bit. So it's got to be good. But yeah, our store opens in 16 days. So you can't buy until then. But I'll get the code just for you.
Okay. I will see what I can do to help out here as well. So, in other news, not only do you have a cheer squad, you potentially have a cheer squad for your Michigan youth and government. You also have a walk-up song for your class, or walk-in song, I guess we'd call it, for your class.
It turned out way better than I thought it was going to turn out.
Yeah.
I can link that one. So Suno is an AI program. I think you told me about it.
Yeah, I did.
And
yeah,
I didn't like it because it only let me do 3 songs at a time. And then I ignored it, right? And I went back to it. I was like, I don't want to do this one, but I'll do it. And I went back and I was like, you've got a gazillion credits. And I was like, wait, what's this? I can iterate. Wait, what is, I can remix now. So I used a ton of credits. And I just started making all different kinds of things. But I went into the AI piece. Excuse me. AI piece of the of Suno, and I said I'm looking for this type of music, and then it's for this group of people. Mm-hmm. And here is our quote. Here's our motto. Our team motto is this, and I put it in there. It's a quote from Abigail Adams. She wrote to her son John Quincy, and it's the habits of a vigorous mind are formed in contending with difficulties. So I put that in there, just kind of like, and I said, and I want it in this particular style, and I hit. Create. And I tweaked it a couple times, and I tweaked it a couple times more. And I came up with this one in particular that was, it's a pop song. And it's gotta be energetic. It's gotta be a walk up piece of music. It's gotta really inspire. It's gotta be, and it came up with one that was, now the lyrics are completely cheesy. I get it. I like them. Don't get me wrong. Cheesy. Yes. I like them. And I went to the team and I said, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And they're like, are you going to do it in your class? I said, yes. They said, fine, you do it in your class. I understand the meaning of what you just said. So I did, and I do, right? And then the kids started talking about it in their class, like, well, Mr. Ricker's got a walk-up song. And we're playing it in my classroom, and the kids want me to play it as they're coming in and going out, right? It's kind of like a transition piece, not something I'd ever thought of. Yeah. I mean, yes, there's other pop music out there, and there's other people that do current music, but this one has our team name in it, and this one has some team values in it, and it talks about being courageous in the face of a struggle, and they kind of like that because I had learned from the sixth grade teachers that this group really struggles with that. They don't take on a challenge at all. And then I've got an autistic girl who is very much into art, and I had this thing playing. The first time I had it playing, I had the music up just a little bit so they could hear the words, because I really want them to catch the words. Mm-hmm. And I walk in, and here's this autistic girl, and she is just going to town dancing like her life depended on it, and just thoroughly enjoying and putting everything into this little cheesy piece of AI music. And I thought, how wonderful is that? And now I know something more about her, and I can maybe use this to try to help her understand my content. What if I take this AI piece of music, or this music generator, and I don't go for like the whole affective side of it? What if I go for the academic content side of it, right? What if I put in Krebs cycle? I have to be careful. Krebs, not crabs. Krebs cycle. And or put in some other concept, right? And say, make me a song about this. And then I make a playlist and put the headphones on her head and say, go to town. What kind of movement would you add to this? What kind of drawing could you make? What color is the music mm-hmm. on this? You know, make me something out of that, right? And so I'm kind of curious how that's going to go. So, yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, it gives you a hook to that she's probably interested in to build off of. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, it's better than taking a test, maybe.
It is. And this week I worked on some assessment stuff. And let me just say that NWEA, so NWEA was purchased a year ago. And this summer they decided they were going to switch their back end to the new company, their back end. It did not go well. And when I say it did not go well, I mean it did not go well. They reverted back to NWEA and that. So there's a whole bunch of permissions. And I think part of that kind of resulted in a whole bunch of permissions getting either not updated or something. So I've been working through permissions and taking the opportunity to kind of review, like, who's got what permissions and making sure getting those all updated and that kind of thing. And NWEA's technical documents, some of them could be clearer, I will just say. Uh-huh. So I've been working on that and getting those kinds of things ready to go. So I did spend some time doing that. Did you watch there was also an Apple event this week.
There was.
Did you watch the Apple event?
I got through most of it before I had to go, and I haven't picked it up. I watched on YouTube, and YouTube said, okay, you watch most of it. We're going to take this out of your feed and find it. It's like,
okay, you're done.
Search. Yeah, it's like, you're done. This is it. And it's like, aw. So what I have to do is, and I'll probably do it this weekend, is I'll go find it somewhere, and I'll have to search up to the point where I dropped off. But I did see most of it. What was your favorite part of it?
I did not watch it.
That would be hard to answer the question.
I had it on a couple of times, but I was too busy to actually pay attention to it. So okay. I caught a couple of things, but very, very little. And so I just kind of, I've listened to a couple of podcasts that kind of reviewed what was on it. I have not watched it yet. I don't know if I'm going to or not. I may, but we'll see. So I did not watch it. I guess is the long and the short of that.
No, was there something that caught your eye that you had read about or something from that? Because there's something that caught my eye, but let's find out what caught your eye first. Or so, your ear. You didn't see it. So what caught your ear?
All right. So really, I will tell you that that I have an iPhone 12. I would be up for a new phone this year. It's been 5 years. I don't think that I'm getting a new phone. The new phones look fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But I just started thinking about what's the pain point of the phone that I have right now.
Right.
And I don't really have a pain point. It does what I need it to do. The battery lasts long enough for, you know, basically lasts me all day long. Still, and I don't use my phone for pictures much. The pictures that I use, that I take on the phone, are more like informational. Like, I don't want to forget this, or I want to capture exactly what this error code is, or something like that. So they're very, they're very transitory. They're very temporary, and I just go and delete them, hopefully. Although sometimes I open iPhoto and go, oh, man, and go through and delete the ones that I missed and didn't delete. I don't know that I'm doing anything. There's some really nice features in the AirPods 3 Pro 3, but those features will also be available to me on my AirPod Pro 2, which I like a lot. So I don't think that I will be purchasing one of those. I did spend a little time this morning trying to convince Sean to purchase one of those, which is one of those things that I enjoy doing. I like spending Sean's money as much as I can, but he rarely bites when I do that. So we'll see if I can have convinced him to...
If I told you I had the Apple Store open already,
there you go.
What does that say? Well, that I'll tell you why I have it open.
That would be one of my few wins, because I don't usually win this win these.
Well, it's kind of a half win because it's not a tablet.
Yeah. That's true.
That's a whole other running gag. There is one thing that is intriguing me greatly about the app. The AirPods Pro 3, and that is the translation feature. Man, can you imagine if we had this when we were in China? Oh, man.
Yeah.
We could have bargained so much better at Silk Market. Then there's so many other conversations that happened that I wish I had better understanding of. And I know for a fact that one of the teachers in my second trip, he was just flat out insulting us every time he came to class. But because now I know what Laowai means. and that's what he wanted to call me. It was Laowai. So, but this translation feature, I want to use it because I want to listen on what the kids are saying in Arabic in my classroom to each other.
I was going to say, that's one of those sneaky good things. That's one of those sneaky things that could be pretty helpful with, you know, just... Yeah. I'm listening to my podcast. You guys are talking. Da-da-da-da-da. Yep, don't mind me. I'm just listening to some music over here. Oh, okay. So, you know, while you're listening into what the kids are saying, that could be very useful.
And I think it would be helpful at parent-teacher conferences and student success team meetings. Because we're going to have parents who, I'm going to have parents who don't speak the language at all. And I'm hoping that, and sometimes they're going to have their kids translate. And you and I both know seventh graders will do everything they can to protect themselves, including lie. And so I'm going to be able to fact check, you know, trust but verify. And So I'm going to trust, but I'm also going to verify. And I think this will be a neat tool to verify with. So.
Right. I agree. At least it gives you more data, and at least it gives you questions you can ask. And now the big thing is going to be is how good is the translation, right?
Right.
Because when Google Translate first came out, I went to one of my wonderful language arts teachers, and I had something in English that I had written up, and I had the translation there as well, and I showed it to her, and she was just so gracious. She's one of those salt of the earth people. And I was like, you know, what is, you know, she just kind of looked at me and she said, that's not what you wanted to say. And I was like, how bad is it? And she's like, it's not good. So I can only imagine how not good it was. But then you know, I think it was like a year later, and she'd say, well, this is better, but it's not quite right. Because you also, there's many different dialects of Arabic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you have to know which dialect you're working with, and that can make a huge difference. So it kind of comes into play as well. So, but even getting some bits of information can probably be very helpful. So, cause you get, at least you get questions you can ask on, like, I think I heard this. Is that what I heard? Is that, and like, you can clarify from there. So, mm-hmm. So I think that'd be really powerful.
All right. Give it a try.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you should. I definitely think you should. And did you click buy yet? You want me to?
No.
Do I need to talk any longer so you can click buy and put in your credit card information?
I'm waiting for your section of the show. Yes.
Okay. Well, that'll be after the show's over with then, because next we're gonna wander on over to the social web.
Yeah, AMLE announced this week. Did you know? DYK. AMLE has created a new series of community one-pagers that explain the middle school structures and their benefits to staff, students, and families. And I think this is long overdue. I think this is a great tool. Each is available free to members and can be found at the About Middle School menu on AMLE.org. So I think this would be great because there's parents who will say, what is teaming? What is this? What is that? Right. And I've got administrators who say that and they're supposed to be in charge of teaming. And so I have to explain to them, this is what it is. This is what we do. This is what teams do. And I have central office who has no clue what this is. And they're calling things with middle level terminology and has nothing to do with middle level stuff. So I think this is a great, like, one pager to, like, say, you're saying this, but this is what it means. I think you really mean, can we call it this? Cause this is actually what you're doing, and it would help clarify things. So I think that's a great way to have that conversation. And
I'm on AMLE and About Middle School. There's a drop down, but I don't see the handouts per se.
I recall seeing something in the floater across the top, the banner.
Okay. sorry. For the listeners, I apologize. I'm looking to get a direct link here. So, okay.
Yep.
So I will look through the through the gallery here. So.
Well, then I will take a really long time with Susie Dent to help you out.
My apologies. Okay. So
no worries. We're good. So Susie Dent.
There you go.
At Susie_Dent. Word of the day is snurtle. It's a 19th century word. To lie warm and still beneath the covers for as long as humanly possible. Now here in Michigan, we're going through fall summer. So we're not quite ready for snurtling yet, but that's coming. And so get the kids' vocabulary rattle for a snurtle, ready for a snurtle, you know. And then there's Czechoslovakians who post on the web, and you can tell they're Czechoslovakian because there's all consonants and no vowels in the in their username.
Yes.
Like Cyborg.
Oh, the cyborg is, I don't know what this is. I don't know what the handle is, but I just thought it was just a quick reminder. Be super nice to your kids' K-12 teachers. Uh-huh. They've been going through a lot lately, and just a reminder. There's a lot going on out there. Be nice to the teachers and take advantage of that. So,
is it sneezing or seizing?
I don't know. I think this is a science teacher, so I don't know if it's like genetics, cybernetics, okay, is what I'm guessing.
We should ask Dave. Dave's our expert on this.
Yeah.
Dave will know. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So let's click over to strategies and Trevor Muir.
Had an interesting post. He posted on Facebook in a video, something that has got me thinking about. I don't know exactly how I put this into use. I mean, he's got a plan, but I don't know that I would use it that way. But I thought it was a really good idea. His idea is that students can get fired from group projects.
Yep.
And not a first time thing, but after a process.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen this one?
I know that in working with group projects, we've had a process, where groups could decide that they were going to fire, one of the group members. There was a process they had to go through. So I haven't seen this one in particular, but it is something that we did previously in a previous life of mine.
Well, the kids can complain to the teacher, but not initial complaints don't get them fired. It has to be a pattern of regular lack of effort. And then at that point, then the teacher can fire the student from the group. The kids can't fire the student from the group. So it keeps it from being a frivolous process, keeps it from being arbitrary per se. So I thought it was a kind of a cool idea. I might kick this around in my head for a while and see what I can come up with. So that is there's a strategy for you this week.
Yeah, and Trevor does some interesting stuff. If you're not following, he is he does speaking as well, but he has a lot of PBL stuff available. So you can check that out. One of the things that I frequently talk about is ADA compliance and why that's important. And I found an example of using a screen reader. And this is one that I saw a while ago, but I had kind of forgotten about, and I came across it again. And I think it's really valuable to show why you should make your websites ADA compliant. Because it is someone who uses a screen reader and walks through how he uses it and like does a demonstration, like this is how I use it. And I also think it's, even if you don't, It's very interesting at how fast you can listen to something, because he goes through like in different instances, like email, he listens to super fast. And I just thought that even that part was fascinating. But I think it's a good reminder of why it is that you want to follow good practice in creating websites and use those headings and what you put on the page. Don't rely on color to communicate something, but have the text actually do it. It's pretty short. It's, I think it's like between seven and eight minutes, if I remember correctly. I can actually take a look. Yeah, 7 minutes and 32 seconds. But it's worth a watch. So, and you might be on the lookout for some free lessons as well.
Yeah. So we had posted a link, I think, at one point on AMLE and the new civics curriculum that they're producing in conjunction with the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. And the link went to a 404 not found webpage, which is not very helpful. So they posted it again this week. And when I clicked on it, it worked. So I found the page. And I think there's a couple neat features about this. Number one, it's to promote civic engagement. And I think that's been something that's in the news. I had kids asking me about it this week, and you could tell there was genuine concern in their eyes and their voice. I couldn't say a whole lot about it because we just didn't know a whole lot about what was going on this week. But I do like what I found in this curriculum so far. And I have not had to spend a lot of time in this yet. But it is focused on promoting civic engagement and civic understanding. And it's not designed for a whole class period. Matter of fact, it's geared and designed around advisory periods. There are 8 lessons. They're all free. You do have to give up your email. but, yeah, that's the price of freedom. But there's 8 lessons. It's geared towards advisory, right? So you don't have to be a social studies teacher to use this. You can run this across your entire school, right? In 8 lessons, it doesn't take up a whole semester. It doesn't take up a massive amount of curriculum time. It's not like junior achievement where they're walking in saying, we're going to take 8 of your class periods so that you can come in and do a simulation for one day. Well, there's merit in that aspect as well, but this is not something that's like that. So I've got to play more with the lessons. But they're now, we have a link. You can now find them, and you can make your own judgment call on whether or not it's something for your students and your advisory.
Okay. So we know that it's important to use AI ethically. And the CBC, the Canadian government has created a report. It calls for using the AI ethically.
We talked about this before the show.
You can probably see where this is going. And what's happened is the report, which they spent 18 months on, has at least 15 fabricated citations. And they think that several of them, though not all of them, were created by a AI language model, despite the same report calling for the ethical use in schools. And here's one of the things, because we tell kids, got to check your sources, right? And we say that's good practice, is check your sources. And one of the fake citations references a 2008 National Film Board movie called Schoolyard Games.
Oh.
Do you know the problem with the movie Schoolyard Games?
What is the problem with Schoolyard Games? They sound like so much fun.
It does not exist.
Whoops.
But they kind of tracked back the citation, and the citation appears in the University of Victoria Style Guide,
ooh,
which is a real publication. It's a real resource. It's a reference. It's a document that teaches students how to format references. Okay? And it teaches them by using fictional examples. And the style guide itself warns on its very first page, many citations in this book guide are fictitious. So you can see where you ask the AI to search for something and it pulls it up and says, yep, here it is. And you could say, are you sure? And it's going to say, yes. And it would even link to it.
Right.
So you have to look at the context of what that document is. You have to know what that document is. Unfortunately, the authors of the article did not do that work. So it got included. So it's a little awkward that these fake citations were were into the reports. The report has 110 recommendations. And it specifically states that the government should, quote, provide learners and educators with essential AI knowledge, including ethics, data privacy, and responsible technology use. So, again, this is one of those things where we have to teach people how to evaluate, and people need to understand, even if it references it, if it's referencing something that has made up stuff, that can be an issue. And I almost wonder, not almost, I wonder if this, as more and more AI created material is posted to the internet, if that doesn't become really an issue, with, you know, how do you do that? And AI referencing other AI stuff that was made up, but because it's now published, it is not made up. It's still made up. You can make it up to the URL bar on your browser and type in middleschoolmatters.com and head over to Middle School Matters. You can listen to the show there. There's links to subscribe. You could copy that and send it off to a friend. Ask them to listen to Middle School Matters. You can head over to the podcast catcher of your choice and give us a 5-star review. Tell us why Sean is the world's greatest co-show host. We would greatly appreciate that. We'd love to hear from you. So send us an email. Again, there's a link on the website there. With that, this has been Middle School Matters for middle school educators who care. All opinions expressed on this podcast are exclusively the opinions of the host and guest and not indicative of any employer.